gift of gab,
a radio show for all but centered on issues that matter to women. Join the conversation on the request line 231-722-8338 on WUVS 103.7 The Beat, where your voice matters. You're listening to the gift of gab.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It is February 13th, and it's a very wintry, wonderful day, I say. And I am so excited. The studio is full. And it just feels so great to be live again, because we've had some glitches, and at least for me in my schedule, and so I feel like I haven't been live for a while. So thank you so much to the listeners who have tuned in, and to those who are going to listen on the podcast later. Maybe you can't access us at work. I appreciate you tuning in as well. Our request line is 231-722-8338, and we welcome your calls. So today, if there is anyone out there, so first of all, the gift of gab came from, the name of the show came from, I told Paul when we were talking about having a radio station, and I was trying to think of something catchy, and I was like, what can I do? What can we say? Well, men often say women talk so much. And so I said, well, yeah, we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep running our mouths, but it's going to be for good. And so at least that's what I always strive for with this show. So that's where the gift of gab came from, the name came from. And so today we are going to be gabbing about jail ministry, actually. And so I don't think there's anybody listening today who has not had somebody that has been touched by jail. Whether it's a loved one, it could be somebody in your church or somebody down the street. But the impact is huge when a loved one or a friend goes to jail. And so one of the support systems in jail is the chaplains and those who come in and try to give a positive word. And so today I am so pleased to welcome Amy Milner, and she is with Forgotten Men Ministries. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you very much.
And also, Amy brought along Miss Lizzie. Lizzie, what's your last name?
McCollum.
McCollum. Okay, and we are so glad to have you today, and you're here basically to talk about your experience, and I'm so glad, because, you know, what's a testimony without a test? You know, I believe that we can tell others maybe how to do things better or how to improve, but unless we've been through something ourselves, I think people are more apt to listen when we've been through.
Yes.
So Amy, tell us about Forgotten Man Ministries. It's based in Grand Rapids, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's a Michigan-based ministry, and it's all around the state. All around jails in the state.
Yes. So Forgotten Man Ministries has programs and chaplains in 34 Michigan counties, all over the Lower Peninsula at this point.
Okay.
And so currently I'm serving at the Newaygo County Jail.
Okay.
So that's where I'm.
You're not in Muskegon at all?
Or not at this time.
Do you come sometimes?
I have, yes. At this time, I'm mostly focused in Newaygo.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, we had talked earlier, and we'll go into this a little bit later, but there's not very many females in this type of ministry, in jail ministry.
Right. Not in chaplaincy, especially, because my husband and I had a chance to visit or to go to a banquet for another chaplain's organization, and we walked in, and it was, you know, a bunch of old men. And in the whole place, I mean, it was white hair all around. And so it's definitely a male-dominated and seeming to be an older male-dominated profession, certainly.
Okay.
So, and I know Forgotten Man Ministries, there is one female chaplain as a head chaplain, and then I think there's a married couple chaplain, husband and wife.
Okay. And so you are considered an associate chaplain,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And you said there's more females who are associate chaplains.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
But only one female chaplain, full chaplain,
right,
in the whole state.
Yes. So that's through Forgotten Man Ministries.
Through Forgotten Man.
Yes.
Okay. So women, if this is something that you want to do, come on down, because you might be needed.
Amen.
And so tell us, how long have you been associated? Now, let's go back. Your late husband, he was into this, and you were not.
Right, right. I say I got tricked, and but we know that God does what he has to do to get our attention.
Yes.
So my husband was in ministry training with our pastor,
mm-hmm.
and as people who are in ministry training and pastors understand that all the work is not behind the pulpit.
Okay.
And Pastor Jerry was very passionate that people in his training got other treatment or other training.
Mm-hmm.
So he hooked Jeff up with the local chaplain who at that time was at Muskegon County Jail.
Okay.
That's our friend Chaplain Rocky Heiss. And so they met and he agreed to take Jeff on for 6 months. And so they began that journey, and Jeff was a volunteer to start.
Okay.
And then when he had gone through that time, it was time to go for the associate's training. My husband had a closed head injury for many years, and so he struggled with reading and
okay.
book learning and you know, even note-taking. And so we asked if I could take the class with him. It
okay.
was a weekend class. It was on our, we share a birthday, and it was on our birthday.
Oh, nice.
And I said, you are not going to some class on our birthday, and I'm going to sit home alone while you're at a class on my birthday. So happy birthday to us. We go for training. And so at the end of the class, and that's where I met my friend Jamaisha, who was a big part of the reason why I came in.
Okay.
And so she explained to me how they needed more help at Muskegon at the time.
Okay.
And we, so we finished the course, and because I was taking the course and because I was getting the knowledge, I paid, you know, we paid for us both.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you had no... at that point, you had no plan to use this. You were just doing it in support of him.
Absolutely.
And taking notes and things like that.
Yes, yes.
But you were like, this is his thing.
Right. I'm gonna be the supportive wife. I'm going to help him take notes, help him study, and because he's going to do this thing, because I'm going to get me some Tuesday nights myself.
I feel like the Lord was like, well, since you're so willing,
you're here
I can use you.
So, yeah, so the course ended, we passed the test, and mm-hmm. They handed me a certificate, and I said, oh, well, thanks. And so that's when my friend asked me, well, can you come? And at that time, I just said, well, you know, I have kids still in high school, and I find it's really important for me to be home, and maybe after my kids graduate, we'll talk about it again. And
okay.
that was a few years to go.
Okay.
So I bought myself some time.
Okay. And so let's fast forward. Unfortunately, and you know, or your husband transitioned in 16. Okay.
Yeah.
And so at what point did you become involved, or should I say, did they rope you in?
So just a few days after we put our son on the bus to the Army, our youngest, I received a phone call from Miss Jamaisha, and she said, so I know you have no kids left at home, they've graduated, it's time now, so we need help. And so now I had no more excuse, or my good excuse was gone. And so I talked to my husband about it, and he was, you know, open to the idea of me trying. Now, I had no journey. It made me think when you said at the beginning that everyone has been touched mm-hmm. by jail. Mm-hmm. Up until this point in my life, I had not. I
okay.
had never been in a courthouse, a
okay.
jail, nothing. So I felt very afraid.
You didn't know anybody?
Very out of my
element. You didn't know anybody?
No.
Just your husband who worked.
Who was in, right.
Well, that was a connection.
And that was it. That was
and
it.
That was the only one God needed.
That was it. So then I began as a volunteer.
Okay.
And we would go in and do, you know, Bible studies, just give testimony and just hear from the girls. A lot of times it's just listening.
Okay.
You know, no one listens to the ladies and they want to be heard.
Okay.
So we started to do that. I did that with Jeff to get, you know, he with the men and I with the women. So then in 2016, when God called Jeff home, I did take some time off after that, and I wasn't sure that it was still my calling. But I began to miss it. It wasn't long before I was missing the ladies and missing those, my friends that I also served with. And so I was still in, as a volunteer at that time. By that time, we had transitioned to Newaygo County.
Okay.
Muskegon had hired a new chaplain, and Chaplain Rocky had gone back to his post at Newaygo County.
Okay.
And asked Jeff and I to come with him, and we did at that time. And so it was a few months. He passed in February, and I think by April I was ready to get to do. You know, you can only stay home and cry for so long, and then you need to get busy. And so it was then a few months after I came back that Chaplain Rocky asked me if I was interested in becoming an associate.
Okay. In Newaygo.
In Newaygo.
And been going since then.
Yes.
Strong in Newaygo. So is that where you met Lizzie?
That is where I met Lizzie,
okay.
Yes.
So, Lizzie, what's your story? Everyone has a story.
Oh, well, I come from a life of addiction. Okay. I started using painkillers at a very young age.
Okay.
And it just, throughout my life, it just ruled my life. I was so just lost in my addiction, in and out of jail. And, you know, I didn't know God is growing up. I mean, I went to church a couple times, but I didn't know God is. So,
okay.
So, yeah, just a life addiction, just losing everything over and over again. And I remember one day, just like, this is like what was really vivid to me. I got in trouble and I was waiting to get sentenced. And I just, from getting in trouble, my addiction just took over. And it was just like really, I was very bad in it. So I just cried out to God, like, God, there's got to be a different way. Send somebody in my life to change my life. And so I end up getting sentenced to a year in Newaygo County Jail.
Okay.
And it wasn't long. I started going to the church ministry, and that's where I met Amy at.
Now, can I ask you, when you're in there and you said going to the church ministry, that's optional? That's not something like that they make you do, right?
No, that's optional. They have they have Bible studies, which I started the Bible studies.
Okay.
And they have a church service every Tuesday night. So,
okay.
So, yeah, I started going there, and I met Amy, and... And I guess when I got sentenced, I heard about Teen Challenge, and I kind of blew it off. They said in Newaygo County, in 27 years, nobody's completed it. It just, God planting that seed in me. And so then, okay, so I met Amy, and she, again, was talking about Teen Challenge. So, and I just, you know, started pouring out on her, and I give my life to God right before Christmas in 2017. I give my life to the Lord, and He just started doing amazing work in me. Instantly, I just felt that. I felt, you know, I knew I wanted more, and that was God answering that prayer. Long ago, I prayed out for Him sending somebody. He sent me Amy, and she just come alongside me and was teaching me and just being the support I needed. So I reached out to her about Teen Challenge, and she did all the work for me to go. So she's been such a blessing in my life since then, not just in jail. I went to Teen Challenge. Through that, she still walked with me the whole time.
Wow.
She come and see me every...
So she wasn't like, once you got out of jail, okay, see you, have a nice life, good luck.
No.
You know, that kind of... I mean, because, you know, she could have.
Yeah, she very well could have. Yeah, I walked into Teen Challenge in 2017, and she's been with me the whole time.
Wow.
So.
Tell me what that's like in jail. I was reading on the Forgotten Man Ministries website that, you know, it said something about oftentimes, not for everybody, but oftentimes in jail you hit that rock bottom. And some people don't have support. They don't have family video visits or somebody putting money on their books or, you know, writing letters to somebody. So tell me about your experience, Lizzie. What kind of, I guess, support system did you have when you were in jail?
Oh, geez. Yeah, I was coming off of drugs, so it was my first month there. I don't really remember a lot. I was detoxing. Okay. So, but yeah, it's very hard. Everybody, when you go to jail, everybody turns to leave you there. No, you don't have no friends no more. You don't have nobody to, you know, most of the time people don't have the money to, you can call. So yeah, you're pretty much stuck there to deal with all these problems that you've created over the years to get yourself there. So
looking at yourself.
Yeah, and so you don't know who you're looking at. So that's where Forgotten Man Ministry steps in and really, they love you. They love you when you don't feel you're lovable. They love you when you feel there's no hope left, and they give that, just that, share that little bit of hope with you that this is just the beginning of a new life, you know. Mm-hmm. If you choose to, this is the start of a new life. And, you know, I took that, and God, I ran with it. And he's wow. given me, he's blessed me. I've graduated Teen Challenge.
Hey, good
I've
job.
Been clean and sober for 25 months now. And
amen.
I started using drugs at probably age 9. I started smoking marijuana. And
wow.
I'm 34, so God has done amazing work in me. Mm. And through this ministry, this is where he started working. So they're touching lives. They're such amazing people to just... It's not just why you're in jail. They come with you out of there, and God just puts them. Amy's my mentor. I meet with her regularly, and aww. You know, she tells me what I don't want to hear, and I need that. I really need that.
We all need that. Well, once again, if you are tuned in, you're listening. This is The Gift of Gab, and you're listening to WUVS 103.7 The Beat, and our topic today is Forgotten Men Ministries, and specifically jail chaplains and female jail chaplains and just the impact of jail ministry. And so, Amy, you brought a couple of letters with
yes.
you, and I think you said you just got one yesterday.
Yes.
So how timely.
Right. Can such a share, coincidence.
Yeah. Can yeah. you share a little bit about this young lady and your experience with her?
Yes. Yes. So first, because I want people to understand that I respect privacy, I have this young woman's mm-hmm. permission. She has gave me permission long ago to share whenever, however
okay.
I can, so that people understand that I would never just read a letter written to
yes.
me in confidence, but
yes.
because she, this young lady, her name is Dawn, and she is currently incarcerated in a federal prison, and when she was in the Nuevo County Jail, that was really her first time ever incarcerated.
Okay.
So she was looking at serious time for the first time in her life, and I believe that it was at the time when Lizzie was there. So she was... I always say she is how I would be if I was in jail. I would be that girl curled up in the ball in the corner.
Yes, because let's say Amy, when I first met Amy a couple years ago, she was so mousy and quiet, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get along with this girl, because I'm, you know, kind of loud and out there, and she's just, I mean, even in the couple years I've known you, I've seen you come out of your shell, so when you say, if it would have been me, I believe that.
I know, it would have, yes.
You, and even just seeing you doing jail ministry, that's, mm-hmm. it's got to take so much of you putting you aside,
yes.
because you know you're putting yourself out there,
yes.
and as you told me, you can't show weakness because
no.
people see through it.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
so you said that if you were to have gone to jail, this young lady reminds you of how you would have been.
Absolutely.
Very meek and kind of...
And afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid. And which is what hindered me from thinking I had anything to share. You know, I said it at the beginning all the time, what do I have to share that these ladies need to hear?
Wow.
And I, you know, I tease, and I don't mean to make light, but I said, I would see me, I would want to shank me. I know they're going to want to shank me. I said, what, you know, I walk in there, this princess with no experience, they're going to look at me and think I'm a joke.
Wide-eyed blonde hair.
What? I am not listening to this girl. And so, but you know, I've come to learn, and I've had them share with me more than once how hearing a different testimony and how it can be done differently gives them hope. And I never considered that. I never considered my testimony, my journey, would give someone else hope.
Wow.
And when you talk about somebody coming to Christ on a jailhouse floor, there's not many places more filthy, ladies, than a jailhouse floor.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think, I was in a beautiful church, surrounded by the people I love, you know, encouraging me on when I accepted God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't imagine that journey, and why I know that God is doing a work in Lizzie and in these women, because talk about being a captive audience,
yes.
and being right where he needs you to be. You know, broken.
So Don was in Nuevo jail,
yes.
and moved on to prison.
Yes.
In Illinois.
She was a federal inmate, and so she was there a little bit longer than the typical.
Okay.
So jail typically is anything from a day to a year.
Okay.
And then after that is when you typically would hear of a prison sentence. So she was actually there just a tad over a year, because, you know, just waiting for transport.
Okay.
So she finished the Bible study. She finished the second step. She is the only one that I've had so far that is going through, and she is just knocking these Bible studies, because Forgotten Man Ministries will send them to people in prison. They have an envelope system where they can send them back and get them great. So they don't have to stop when they leave jail. If they want to continue to do them, they can.
Okay.
But this is, so Dawn and I have stayed connected personally. We write, and she always sends me a letter in my letter to read to the ladies if I want to. At the beginning, it was because she left her friends. I mean, she made friends, women of God that God put in her life there to mentor her at the beginning of her walk, because mm-hmm. she came to the Lord there in jail as well.
Okay.
And so this paragraph just steps out to me, and it just says, I was a lost soul at Newaygo County Jail in December 2016 to January 2017. Let me tell you, that was the hardest and longest struggle of my life. Mm. There were times I so wanted to give up, but finding Christ and doing the Bible studies helped me a lot to focus. I was bitter until I found God and God's love for me.
Wow.
And to watch her grow, stop being afraid, stop being timid, and mm-hmm. then not only then to begin to share her journey and share what she was learning with others, and then as God brought new people in, I can remember different ones who, I mean, you know, it's just not sinners in jail, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People of faith are in jail. Mm-hmm. It happens. And so I've met some amazing, wonderful, godly women through this process.
Wow.
And so
look at Dawn and how she's touching lives from in a cell.
Yes.
You know, and how she wants to touch lives. She
Absolutely.
Wants people to be encouraged.
Right. And she's excited. She's, you know, her prayer is to come out and be able to come and through and do the training. And, you know, and I always tell the girls, Lizzie will attest, the Forgotten Man Ministry training.
She wants to come out and be a chaplain.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. And, you know, they listen to me, and I can share, and God will use. I always say, and on the Bible, He used a donkey, so He can use
he
me
sure
for
did.
Sure, for sure. But imagine if you heard you, what would you say to you? What would you want to hear? And so I challenge them always to, you know. And if not Forgotten Man, there's certainly no lack of jails mm-hmm. and ministries where mm-hmm. they can share. But imagine to come back to the place where you were. So that's my hope for her, because I know there'll be healing in that.
I love just the name Forgotten Man. It's so serious and impactful, because because it does seem like people a lot of people don't think about people who are in jail or in prison, you know. I think also of like nursing homes. I think that a lot of times we forget that unless we have somebody in a nursing home, we're not too much thinking about nursing homes. So I think similarly with jail. And, you know, I know once with my own experience, I had a family member who went to jail a couple years ago, and it rocked me to my core, because I just never thought, first of all, that this individual would go to jail, and I didn't even know the first thing what to do.
Right.
You know, how do I support them? And it was just so foreign. So I can imagine there's others who, you know, have felt that similar. And just knowing that you all are one of many ministries out there who are a human touch and encouragement. Yes. And just to say, you know, we're here for you. Or Lizzie, what, you know, from your experience, what did you see? Did you see, I'm sure there were some people who really didn't want any part of it, right? I mean, it's not for everybody.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely girls that don't want a part of it. And there's girls mm-hmm. that just get out to meet with their friends, or, you know, just to get out of their cell. But mm-hmm. when God's got a hold of you, I didn't let that distract me. So, but yeah, it's just the girls in there that don't want to, you can just share the hope, like me coming mm-hmm. to getting ready mm-hmm. to come to Teen Challenge, and just, you know, I was just sharing, and they're like, you are out of your mind. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know this is what God has for me. And they just didn't understand that. So mm-hmm. I just shared the hope. And I still talk with some of these girls that I was in jail with, and they're just like, they've seen it. Yeah. They've seen it come around, and they've seen me add months on my sentence to go to Teen Challenge, and they see me now still clean and sober.
Yes. Now, you said earlier that no one from Newaygo County Jail had made it through Teen Challenge, like graduated. So does that mean you were the first?
I was.
She was.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. They don't like to take the risk to send people because they leave. You know, it's a hard program. So yeah, I was the first. It was good, but I knew God the whole time. I just kept holding on God and trusting that He was changing my life. When I went in there, I knew this was my chance to learn to live a new life, to learn everything new, and I've taken that. And
I'm really hoping that somebody from Teen Challenge is listening, because I shared with Amy that I still want them to come on the show. So if you're listening, come on. I want to have y'all on Gift of Gab, only because I've gone to church services where they've visited, and you know, they have a little choir come sing, and I've also, when I worked at the Muskegon Chronicle years ago in 2009, I wrote a series, and I'll tell you about that when we come back from our break. I want to talk to you a little bit more about my experience going into Teen Challenge. But you are listening to the Gift of Gab, and we'll be right back. Good afternoon, and welcome back to the Gift of Gab radio show. And today we are talking about jail ministry. We're talking about chaplains, and specifically female chaplains with Forgotten Men Ministries. And I've got two female associate chaplains here. We've got Amy Milner and Jamaisha Gilbert. And we are just talking about and Lizzie, thank you so much, Lizzie. What's your last name?
McCollum.
I know it started with an M. And I just so appreciate you for sharing your experience with Newaygo County Jail, and with how you met Amy from Forgotten Man, and just how this ministry has impacted you and your life. And how, now at the break, we were talking about Teen Challenge, and I think a lot of people misunderstand Teen Challenge. They don't know what it is. They just know they go by on Ponaluna Road, in that Ponaluna, and they see the car washes out there, and they're like, what is this? Who is this? And so, anyway, I was saying before the break, in 2009, when I was a reporter at the Muskegon Chronicle, I was always fascinated with Teen Challenge, and anytime I could write a story to get God in it too, I would do that. And so I reached out to Teen Challenge, and at the time, they were not having it. But I just kind of kept on. And I was like, you know, I even went and I met with them, and they were like, okay. And I said, it's on your terms, though. It's on your terms, however you want it. And we ended up doing a 3-day series, and I thought it came out really nicely. They let us have a photographer in the worship services. Nice. And I wasn't prepared for the powerful impact of the worship service. Oh, it was amazing.
Powerful service.
And so, and I have heard, like you said, Lizzie, that it's a tough program, that it's very stringent. And so, again, if you are listening, Teen Challenge, I want you to come on and talk about just the good things that are happening. I mean, addiction is so real, and it's something so hard to break, and if there's a program that is successful and has people that are coming out and living new lives, then we just want to talk about that.
And
so,
yeah, Amy. Speaking of addiction, the head chaplain in Newaygo, Chaplain Rocky Heiss, we realize that a lot of the people that are in jail currently, it's because of addiction or directly a result of addiction.
Okay.
And so these Bible studies from Forgotten Man Ministries, while they are wonderful, informational, and they'll learn a lot about the Bible, some of the people, that's not where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was very passionate and developed a series using the Life Recovery Bible.
Okay.
And so he and his wife, Pat, they developed a 12-step series.
Oh, wow.
But faith-based, all scriptural, and they did it by hand. I mean, we typed it in, we printed out, and we've had about 40 or 50 people complete it.
Okay.
The 12-step, each step has 4 studies in it. It's significant.
Okay.
But it's talking about where they are.
Okay.
Making them look at themselves and see. So, you know, it is addiction. I mean, jail ministry, there's lots of reasons of being in jail, but it's very sad today because addiction is probably the top reason why people are in jail. One reason or another.
So I want to talk about getting involved, volunteering. And as we talked about at the top of the hour, there's not very many women at all involved with this type of ministry, but yet the need is there.
Yeah.
And Miss Jamaica. Miss Jamaica Gilbert, I'm so glad that you have joined us. You said earlier, before the show started, and I was just blown away, that you said you have been involved with this ministry for 30 years?
30 years.
How did you come to how did you get involved?
Well, I started out in Carson City going to the prison.
Okay.
Ministering to inmates there.
Did you live over in that area?
No, I drove.
Oh, wow.
I had a full-time job for the state. Then I would leave my job at 4 o'clock to get to Sparta at about 5. And then I would get with another couple and we would drive like an hour and a half to Carson City.
Okay.
And then I did that for like maybe 3 or 4 years. And I began to pray to the Lord. And I said, God, if this is what you really called me to do, then you're going to have to bring me closer to home.
Okay.
And then, I got to really go back. I'm trying to think of the year that God opened that door, not only for the Muskegon County Jail, but for West Shore Correctional Facility.
Mm.
And I began to go in there, and I began to minister to the men in the prison, and then the women in the Muskegon County Jail. I was a volunteer, just like Amy was. And I volunteered for, I don't even know how long I was. I was just going because it was a calling and I loved the women.
What even sparked it? How did you hear about it?
Someone I know went to jail.
Okay.
And I said, and you got to be careful what you say. You just got to be so careful.
Yeah.
And I said, I never go into the Muskegon County Jail. I said, those people in there, they did that. They deserve that.
Okay.
God spoke to me and said, that's not true. I love them all.
Mm.
And so that person that he put in jail was related.
Mm.
And so I had to go in and I had to minister to that person. And that's how it came about, me going into the Muskegon County Jail, because I had never known what the jail looked like inside.
Wow.
Until I went there.
So you, I'm sure, have so many stories and experiences from this. And you do this twice a week? How often do you do this?
I do this. I was going every Tuesday of the month, every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I go the second and fourth Tuesday at night.
Okay. And what do you do when you go? You're here in Muskegon County Jail.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so what do you do? Do you conduct Bible studies?
We go in and before, I know this is the radio station. I know, but I got to be honest with y'all. You got to see God. You got to hear from Him. You got to know.
You mean before you volunteer?
Before you go in and do anything.
Okay.
Because if you go on your own, it's not going to work.
Okay.
And so those that know that they're going in, we go together as a group. And we begin to pray. And then once we get in, God just, He takes it over. You have one thing, but God said that's not so. And we go in and we begin to minister to them. Like Amy said, so many of them are in there, for addiction.
Okay.
And so we got to let them know that, we have not always been what we are.
Yes.
You got to come real with them. You got to tell them.
Everyone's a used to be something.
Right. I can relate to a lot of them.
Yes.
I really can.
Okay.
And so I think that's why they come and they confide in me and they open up to me and they begin to tell me their stories. And then I begin to tell them.
Your testimony,
yep.
Right? You share your story. Okay, awesome. That is 30 years. Now, do you plan to stop anytime soon?
When God says it's time, I have to listen to His voice. I want to stop, but I got to listen to His voice.
Because you did. You said out there before we started, you said, there's times when I'm just ready to walk away. And you say, wait, I haven't seen that person. What is that? Is it that you want to hear their story? Do you just want to encourage them?
I just want to encourage them. I want them to know that there's hope. And you can.
Now, do you stay connected like Lizzie and Amy? Is that unique for chaplains to stay connected even afterwards? Or do you separate? Or how do you?
Nope. I try to stay connected to them.
Okay.
I let them know that I'm always available to them, even outside the county jail.
Okay.
And let them know that if they're ever in a bind or they're falling or something, just reach out to me, because I know, I know where they're coming from.
Okay.
I know. And so I don't have, nobody I'm mentoring.
Okay.
I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see them, out somewhere, they notice me before I notice them. And they'll come up to me, you know, and they'll say, you really helped me. But I always give God the glory.
Yes.
It's not me.
Yes.
I'm nothing.
Amen.
I'm nothing but just that vessel.
Wow.
And this one lady that works with us now in mm-hmm. the ministry, she always talks about, you is the one why I came to Christ. But I always say, no, God, get the glory.
Amen.
You're just the vessel.
And we know that we have to leave it to them,
yes.
you know, because it's
yeah.
their journey.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about it all the time when we run into, I mean, because we live in this community, so mm-hmm. we're going to see you at Wisco. We're going to
yeah.
see you at Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's your story. So when I run into someone and, you know, unfortunately, when you see someone in jail uniforms and not looking their best, you almost don't recognize
them. You don't recognize them.
I'm
sure.
They usually recognize us before we recognize them, but it doesn't take long. And they're just my friend. If I'm with my family, you mm-hmm. know, this is my friend Lizzie. That's her story.
Mm-hmm.
That's her
mm-hmm.
journey, and it's not for us
to tell. Yeah.
But it does help them to know, because besides even them, they're families. Like you said, they
mm-hmm.
don't have support. So I've been able to walk alongside with Lizzie's mom, who's going through a cancer battle. She's needed help. And so it extends beyond. Chaplain Rocky will get an email from a desperate mom. Thank the Lord for praying, mothers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Please go see
yes.
my daughter. You know, these things.
I remember I was when, and you all, if you have a question or a comment, 722-8338. I remember when I had that loved one who was in jail, and I had went up at my church, I had went up for prayer because it was just so burdening me that, you know, that this person was there, and I felt so powerless and helpless. And, you know, we can pray, and I know that that's powerful, but I couldn't touch that person. I couldn't hug them, you know. And I remember I went up for prayer, and the pastor, it was such a beautiful thing. The pastor had said, you know what, for anybody in here, if you have somebody who a loved one right now who is in jail, come up, and we're going to do corporate prayer. That was amazing, because so many people came up, and at that time, I just remember feeling, you know, I had felt so alone. I felt almost a stigma, because I'm like, I didn't want my loved one there, you know, and I just felt all this condemnation, like, what could I have done better, or what could I have done to avoid that? And all these people came up, and we all just hugged, and we prayed together, and it just showed me that was just a fraction of the community, but yet that whole room, everybody had somebody that was either a friend, or it was grandmothers, it was aunties and mothers, and like you said, the power of a praying mother. That right there,
yeah.
you know. And so I just think the work that you all do is just precious. It's wonderful. So how can somebody, tell me the website, and tell me how can people get involved?
So the Forgotten Man Ministries website is easy, www.forgottenman.org, and it's a pretty easy website to navigate. You'll see the counties that are involved.
And there's over how many counties?
34 yes.
counties, okay.
And you can volunteer, and it's up to you. You know, there's no requirements for how much or how often. It's really, each chaplain takes care of their own volunteers. So you would fill out the form online. It says to volunteer, and then the chaplain will reach out to you for whatever county that you have chosen, and then you work with that chaplain. So it's personable. It's each county is different. The transition from Muskegon County to Newaygo was very different. You know, Newaygo County is a much smaller jail, much smaller town,
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, each chaplain has to mold their program to their specific jail,
okay.
Because at the end of the day, while yes, you know, we know God is in control and He can do all things, when you're in the county jail, you're there at command's request,
okay,
and at their pleasure. So we learn to be very respectful of
yes.
command and the rules. They're there for our safety,
okay,
and for the safety of the inmates and the COs. And so, but you can, so really, if you feel called to teach or mentor or even just share, there's no rule about what you can or can't do as far as what you share. You share what you feel led to share. There's office work, Bible studies need to be graded, and certificates passed out. out and book carts, and there's plenty of things for someone who has a desire.
Yes, in fact, I saw that you guys have like a little lending library, and I have a ton of books, so I had emailed them and I said, hey, how can I donate some books to it? So, that you know, even if it's something like that, yes. Something simple, do you all go through an extensive training, or I don't know, or does it just depend on what you're going to be doing, right?
So what's changed? So Jamaisha and I are the old crew that had to take this class on my birthday, and it was two weekends, a Friday and a Saturday for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty extensive. And then at the end, you took a test, and then you were, you know, you had.
Then you were official.
Yes. So now it's, you know, we've come into this technology age and everything is digital. Lizzie has even taken the course online. And so when you finish the course, you are presented with a certificate of completion for the course. And so then, depending on your involvement, would depend. Everyone would start out as a volunteer.
Okay.
That so that you can find your place and what. You know, you can do in your time availability and what the jail needs from you. And then going from there would be, you know, whether or not the jail needs, you know, certain jails need more associates, others.
Okay.
And then the way it goes, a small jail, it doesn't need a ton of associates, but we all need volunteers.
Jamaisha, does Muskegon, is there a big need?
Yes, it is. For volunteers and for associate chaplains. Because just last year, they built, they took one of the rooms and they turned it into a chapel and where they could go and have a church.
Okay.
And so every month, chaplain people is looking for some pastors from the outside to fill in, to go in and teach, teach or preach the word to the inmates. And they have three sessions that start. One start at 2:15, I believe. And then the other one is like, because it's only like, what, maybe about a half an hour. So they do three. So it's 2:15 to 3:15, and then 3:15 to 4:15, and then the other one probably is 4:15, a little after 5:15. And we need spots to fill that, but right now, we don't have it.
I have to say, I did go on the website and I saw the calendar and people where people can go in, and there was a lot of vacancies. And I was like, oh, we got all these pastors, we got a church on every corner, but where are they? But I don't know, maybe they just don't know. So if you pastors are out there, you know, that's an option to go, and you know, don't forget your people in jail, right? So Lizzie, you, what is the future for you? What do you want to do? She said that you took online.
I did.
Course.
I did. I took an online course, and I definitely have desire to go back in and touch the ladies. Yeah, because hearing it from somebody that's been through the struggle with the hope, I can give them hope. So I'm what God wants for me right now.
You're just open.
I'm open.
That is awesome. That is so great.
And the beauty of Forgotten Man Ministries is because of that. Even though, you know, when you come out of jail, usually you have probation and you have things that are on you that you have to complete. Forgotten Man is one of few ministries who will allow, you know, there still has to be time where you know, recommendations and requirements to be done with certain aspects. Mm-hmm. But having been in jail or in prison doesn't
hinder you
from coming in.
Wow.
So that's wonderful. Or many ministries, that would be a hindrance.
Gosh. Anything in these last couple minutes that you all would like to leave with the listeners about this type of ministry or your experiences or just Forgotten Man Ministries itself? Like, isn't there an annual dinner or luncheon, like a fundraiser? Right.
Right. Every county holds their own dinner. We've been a part of Muskegon counties as well as Newaygo counties, and people can come to those. Those are free for Newaygo County. A love offering is taken up.
Okay.
Those are held at the Shack every fall, and you can get involved in so many ways. Number one is we just need people to be praying about, you know, the ministry and praying for us.
Okay.
Yes.
And in Muskegon, anything besides volunteers or what would you say is the greatest need? Would it be people?
Oh, the greatest need, I've seen it, is for them to just reach out.
Yeah.
Come volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You might have a loved one in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we need that so bad. You know, when we look at the numbers.
Great. Well, I so appreciate you all coming to share, and Lizzie, you sharing your story, and I'm looking forward to staying connected with you and seeing what you're going to do, because I know you are just on fire. I could just see it. You're ready. You are a business. You are about the business. So this is great. And I hope that you all will maybe come back and share with us more, because Amy, I think you're also just kind of getting your feet wet in this. I don't know. She may be one of, instead of assistant, she may be going to regular, full-time chaplaincy.
I don't tell God what I'm not going to do. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Great. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Thank you all for listening to The Gift of Gab. You have been tuned in on WUVS 103.7 FM, The Beat, your community station, and please join us again next week. Have a great day.